to the name of God. You got to pray for your pastor. You need to pray for your pastor against the devil. You need to pray for him, protect him against the devil and against ungodly people. There are people in this world that would like nothing better to do than shut the doors of Sharon Baptist Church. You need to pray for him against ungodly people. You need to pray for him physically too. Hey, God, protect him. Put a hedge of protection about him. I pray this all the time for my pastor. My pastor gets up every single morning before 4 o'clock. Drives over an hour and 15 minutes to his plant where he works. Works from 6 o'clock until 4 or 5 o'clock, and then drives an hour and 15 minutes back. That is a 15-hour day before he can even start resting. God, protect my pastor. You keep him safe. But not only pray for your pastor, pray for his family. Pray for his wife. Pray for his children. And yes, I'm married to my pastor's daughter, but I pray for his son and his daughter-in-law. I pray for their grandbaby Piper, not because they're kinfolk to me, because I know what it would do to pastor's heart if something happened to those children. There's nothing in this world that means more to most of us than our family. And if Satan can get a hold of one of the pastor's kids or one of the pastor's grandkids, he knows I can destroy this man through this. So you pray for him that God will put a hedge of protection about him. The second thing, number one, I want you to pray that God will protect your pastor against every enemy. Number two, I want you to pray. Ephesians chapter number 6, verses 18 and 19. Let's flip to that one. Ephesians chapter number 6, verses 18 and 19. I want you to pray that God will give your pastor utterance. Verse number 18 of Ephesians chapter number 6 reads, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for things. And for me, Paul writes, now for me, pray for every saint, but now for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel. You know what that word utterance means? That word utterance means give me the ability to communicate clearly. There's a lot of things in this Bible that is hard to explain to people. But God, you can explain it. You help me. Help me have utterance. Help me to be able to preach what you have for me. You know how you do that? How many of you ever been in a church service and you knew the pastor was struggling preaching? The preacher that was preaching, you could just see it. Whether it was his voice, whether it was the sound system, something just wasn't quite right. And you could tell he's working hard. He's laboring. He's trying to get it out there. Do you know what carnal people do? They fold their arms and go, well, the preacher really don't have it today, does he? Struggling. It's too bad the visitor showed up today. That's unfortunate. You know what spiritual people do? They bow their head. Oh, God, help him. Help him. Oh, God, help him. But you know what? We ought not just pray when he's preaching. We ought to pray for him on Saturday. You know, Saturday's a day off for a lot of people, not for a pastor. Not for the man that's got to preach twice on Sunday. He's home studying, getting ready. While you're laying in bed getting some sleep on Sunday morning, he's up early praying. Oh God, please help me. Give me utterance. Pray for him. Become invested in the message. You want to know when invitations will start meaning more to you? When you'll start caring whether people walk this aisle? When you prayed for the man of God to preach that message. It'll start exciting you a little bit more. It'll break your heart a little bit more when people don't walk the aisle. You'll sit there and listen to that message and go, how in the world can somebody not do something when we pray for the preacher? Philippians, number one, you pray that God will protect him from every enemy. Write down number two, you pray for him that he'll have utterance. And number three, I want you to pray for the pastor that he'll deal with every problem. Philippians 1:19. You'll pray that he'll deal with every problem. Philippians 1:19 says, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation. Here it is. Underline this in your Bible. Through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. He says, hey, listen, pray for me as I deal with these problems. Do you know pastors don't have just his problems? He has church problems. He has church finance problems. He has church members' problems. He has visitor problems. He has problems that most of us will never even begin to imagine the things that run through a pastor's head. I tell you what, I used to enjoy big Sundays when I was a kid. We'd have homecoming or Easter breakfast. I enjoyed all that, man. That was great. Until I got in the ministry, I hate them. Man, I tell you what, oh man. To put on a big day, the work that has to go in, It's a lot of work. And you're putting it in and you're trying your best. And oh God, please help us to do everything we can do to make sure that we're right on where we need to be. You pray for him as he deals with problems. Look at verse number 19. It says, for I know that this shall turn. This shall turn. Number one, pray that God will take his problems away. God alleviate his problems. Turn them. And not only that, verse number 20, I want you to pray that God will give him what he needs until it turns. Paul writes to the church of Philippi, he said, you pray for me that my problems will turn, but that God will give me strength until it does. You pray for him, number one, that he'll be protected against all enemies. Number two, you pray that God will give him utterance. Number three, you pray that God will take care of his problems. And number four, I want you to pray, according to Colossians chapter number 4 and verse number 2, that God will give him divine appointments. This is one of my favorite ones to pray for the pastor. I love to pray this for my pastor as he's working in the plant. He's working with lost people. I pray on a constant basis, hey, God, give him a divine appointment today. One that when he's faced with it, he'll go, oh yeah, God put me here. This is the reason God put me here so I could share the gospel. Colossians chapter number 4 and verse number 2 says, continue in prayer, watching the same with thanksgiving. Continue in prayer and watch. Why watch? Because God's going to do something today. We ought to be ready at a moment's notice for that divine appointment. Be ready for that time that God says, hey, now I'm ready for you. I want to use you right here, right now. Pray that God will give him divine appointments. I want you to take your Bible, turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. This is the next one. So we talk number 1, pray that God will protect your pastor. Number 2, pray that God will give him utterance. Number 3, pray that God will help him deal with his problems, that God will take his problems away. Number 4, pray that God will give him divine appointments. Number 5, I want you to pray that God will give him lasting fruit. In 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3 and verse number 1, it says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. Brethren, pray for us. You want to know a good study, Brother James? You want a good study? Pastor, you want a good study? Look through all the Pauline epistles at the times he's praying for the church. That's how a pastor ought to pray for his church. You church members want a good study? Look at all the times that Paul says, hey, brethren, pray for us. Pray for me. I'm giving you 7 of them. Pray for me. I'm praying for you. You pray for me. The old proverb says, iron sharpeneth iron. This is how it sharpens right here. You pray for me, I'll pray for you. Brother Jonathan and I have some mutual friends, and we're in a group chat together. And we're all the time trying to encourage each other, make each other laugh. And I mentioned one day, I said, I like this so much because this is iron sharpening iron. This is us keeping each other accountable. Hey, how'd Wednesday night go? How was your class? What did God do for you? How many did you have? And most of the time, I'll be honest with you, that how many did you have is usually followed up by, dude, I smoked you today. But it's really meant, hey, what's going on? What are you doing? You're reaching them? Are you working? Pray for them. Pray that God will have, that God will give your pastor lasting fruit. The Bible says, as it is in you. I underlined that in my Bible and I wrote beside it, can my pastor see fruit in my life from his ministry? I sure hope he can. I sure hope that when the pastor looks at me, he says, I've invested my life in that young man. I can tell you as a youth pastor, that means something to me. To look at a teenager that I've poured my life into, that I've poured my family's life into, and to see them turn out, I'm like, thank you, Lord. That's lasting fruit. What about us as adults? Let me tell you a story about your missionary this morning, Kevin and Christina Brown. Do you know Christina Brown used to ride a small bus route in Hopewell, Virginia? She got saved on that bus route. Her mom got saved on that bus route. Siblings began to come to church. Christina stayed in church, went off to Bible college, met a nice man, got married, surrendered to the mission field, now serving for 7 years in Croatia. You know who the bus driver of that bus was? Pastor Curtis Newcomb. That's lasting fruit. I'll never forget when he got a phone call from this man named Kevin Brown. He said, my wife and I, Christina, are trying to be missionaries to Croatia. We'd love to come by your church and present our work. Pastor took him through the usual spiel, finding out the background. And Pastor said, as he began to talk, I was like, this sounds vaguely familiar here. Girl comes into church and Pastor just looks at her. He said, oh, I know that girl. Let me tell you, you people that don't think that bus ministry matters, it matters. Amen. Pastor said, I don't know how many kids are doing anything for the Lord right now. He said, but I know one young lady that's serving the Lord in Croatia because of a bus route. And he said, I can't tell you. Their bus visitation didn't last just 2 hours. They would start in the morning and they wouldn't quit till the sun goes down. He said, I can't tell you how many hours I walked pavement, knocked on doors, begged kids, hey, you coming to church tomorrow? Where's your mom and dad? Let me make sure. He said, hours after hours, weekend after weekend, weekend after weekend. But it was worth it all because one young lady serving the Lord in Croatia. That's lasting fruit. That's something that matters. So number one, pray for your pastor that he'll be protected against all enemies. Number two, pray that he'll have utterance. Number three, pray that God will help him deal with his problems. Number four, pray for divine appointments. Number five, pray that there will be lasting fruit. And number six, 1 Timothy chapter number 6 and verse number 1, I want you to pray for your pastor that God will lead him as he leads you. Pray that God will show your pastor a clear vision. The Bible says where there is no vision, the people perish. Pray that God will lead him. Pray that God will give him such a burden and a vision for this area. Because when the man of God has a fire, it's contagious. Our pastor has said many times that a church's heart is often a reflection of the pastor's heart. If the pastor's not warm, if he's not loving, the people will not be warm and loving. If the pastor doesn't care about missions, they won't care about missions. If he cares more about a building project, they'll care more about the building project. So you pray that God will lead your pastor as he is a steward of God. I want you to pray, James chapter number 1, verse number 5. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth all men liberally and abradeth not. Hey, God, give my pastor wisdom. But we need to caution ourselves here. We have to be careful because if we're true and honest with ourselves, which if you can't be honest with yourself, let's just be real, you're not going to be honest with anyone else. If you can't be honest with yourself to say, hey, God, give my pastor wisdom. Most of us say, hey, God, tell the pastor, this is what we need to do. We need to be doing this. Sometimes I wonder when I tell God stuff like that, hey, God, we need to be doing this. I wonder if God goes, no, really, you don't. You don't need to have anything to do with that. So I've honestly made my heart's prayer, hey, God, you give the pastor wisdom. And then give me wisdom to follow him. Give him wisdom, give me wisdom to follow him. Let me tell you something, church. Grateful intercession will change your attitude in a big way. Understand that grateful intercession, being happy to pray for somebody, will change your attitude towards that person. You think you love your pastor now? Pray for him. Specifically, every day. I'm giving you 7 things. We've already covered 6. If you just prayed one a day, hey, God, today, give my pastor a divine appointment. Hey, God, today, give my pastor utterance. Hey, God, today, especially today, you protect my pastor. I don't know about you, but there's many days where I don't understand something and something just pop in my head. And I think, I need to call so-and-so. I should shoot so-and-so a text message. A lady in my church not long ago, I was struggling. I was having, oh man, I was down. I was beat up. And a lady in my church sent me a text, but she said, just want you to know we love you in case you forgot. That meant the world to me. I pulled my patrol car over and I began to cry and beg God to forgive me. It means something when you tell someone, hey, I'm praying for you. The other day, I had a thought running through my head, and I was thinking about a few things, trying to make a decision that I've got to make in the next few days. And a friend of mine who recently surrendered to the ministry sent me a text message. And the text message was real long, And basically it boiled down to the last sentence. Stop worrying and do what God told you to do. And I thought, I've never told this man a single thing about what I'm thinking. But God already knows. And I realized then somebody's praying for me. So number one, pray that your pastor will be protected from all enemies. Number two, pray that your pastor will have utterance. Number three, pray that your pastor will deal with problems. Number four, pray for divine appointments. Number five, pray for lasting fruit. Number six, pray that God will lead him as he leads you. And number seven, I want you to flip to Hebrews chapter number 13. We're getting ready to end. Hebrews chapter number 13. Stay with me just a few more minutes. Hebrews chapter number 13. Hebrews chapter number 13 and verse number 7. It says, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you in the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Skip down to verse number 17. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves. For they watch for your souls, as they must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. Verse number 24. It says, salute all them that have the rule over you and all the saints. They of Italy salute you. Three different times you see that phrase, them that have the rule over you. That word remember in verse number 7 means learn all you can from them. Remember what you've learned. Learn all you can. That word obey means to submit yourselves. Number 6, or lastly, the word salute means to encourage them. Encourage them. Learn all you can from them. Obey everything that God tells you to obey from them. And then encourage them. You ought to pray for your pastor. You ought to pray for the man that God has put to give an account for your souls. Do you realize your spiritual growth not only depends on you, it will give an account for when you get to heaven, but your pastor will give an account for your soul. What did you do to help them grow? I love pastors. I want God, as I get older and hopefully a little wiser, I hope that God will allow me one day to have a ministry to pastors. To just encourage them. To let them know, hey, you're not alone. One of the best things that I got from my dad, and he probably doesn't know I have it, and he's not getting it back, so I'm hesitant to mention it. But he gave me this grocery bag full of these CDs, and they're called Pastor to Pastor. Man, that was good. And there's all kinds of different topics about prayer, about your wife, about the ministry, even about things like taking vacation, about changing churches, about your living habits. And it's just pastors who have been down the road, who have struggled, who have been there, who come on this radio program and say, look, I know what you're going through. You're not alone. Here's how God brought me through it. That's right. And here's how he's going to bring you through it. Amen. I think of Charles Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon, the Prince of Preachers. A young preacher flew all the way across the ocean to interview with Charles Spurgeon to find out what the secret to power was. And he saw the Prince of Preachers and he said, Brother Spurgeon, tell me. What is the success to worldwide evangelism? Brother Spurgeon looked at him with a very stern look. He said, son, it's no secret. My people pray for me. Amen. And as I read that in that book, I stopped. And I thought to myself, is the lack of the success of my church because I don't pray for my pastor? We talk about revival. You got this missionary conference coming up. Let me tell you, not only should you pray for your pastor, you ought to pray for your missionaries. These exact same seven things. God, you give them utterance. You protect them. You want to talk about needing protection? Your missionaries need protection. I told you earlier, and you guys know, I grew up in a pastor's home. I'm so grateful for that. I learned a lot of lessons. A lot of times I didn't like it growing up being the pastor's kid. But as I get older, I'm so grateful for a faithful men and women. I can name several of them right now. Can't help but think about a couple named Elma and Lamont Brady, who I knew when my dad was struggling with something, they were praying for their pastor. I thank God for a lady who's gone to heaven now, Diane Kegley, in our church, who I knew that when the pastor was struggling, Miss Diane was praying for her pastor. That means something to me. It means something to the pastor, church, when you send him a text and say, I'm praying for you, pastor. Take these seven things, write them down, and every single day, pray one of them. Hey, God, today, would you just lead the pastor in a special way so he'll know how to lead us? Church, let me tell you something. Charles Spurgeon said that the power of his church came from his people praying for him. What could Sharon Baptist Church do if all 50 or 60 of you committed tonight, I'm going to pray for my pastors? Let's pray. Lord, I love you. I thank you for the day. Father, my own heart is stirred and convicted. And Father, I pray for my pastor regularly. But Father, I could do more. And Father, I pray now that you bless this church. I pray that you convict hearts, Father. Make them, Father, feel the emptiness. Father, knowing that they could do more. Father, there's probably some people out here sitting thinking, well, I pray for the pastor. But Father, I'm not asking for generic prayers. You're not asking for generic prayers. You're asking for specific, fervent prayers. And oh God, would you convict our hearts? Make us more like you, Lord. Father, would you help us? Please, God, help us to be your servants today. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand to our feet, please, with every head bowed.